welcome to the Cloud Computing Show, episode number 38. I am really happy to be here with Martin Mikos, the CEO of Eucalyptus. Hi, Martin.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. And I'm Gary Orenstein, host of the Cloud Computing Show. One housekeeping note to let everyone know, our feed has moved. Hopefully that's been fine. We are also initiating our show Twitter account, which is just at Cloud Show. So if you ever have any problems, be sure to check us out on the Twitter address or as well at thecloudcomputingshow.com. And we hope everything's been working fine there. Into the industry news. We are in the midst, literally as we speak, of not directly a cloud play, but indirectly, I think, with the HP and Dell bidding over 3PAR. So last week, Dell made the announcement. This week, HP upped the announcement. And literally hours ago, Dell has brought the bidding up to $1.8 billion. Storage is really hot. I have a question for you, Martin, later on about storage in the context of what's going on with cloud stacks. But this is really an exciting move. I wrote a piece that I thought HP would ultimately prevail. We shall see what happens. It'll be an interesting one. The other news that just came through last night is Red Hat had a flurry of announcements around offering or sending Delta Cloud to the Distributed Management Task Force as an open set of intercloud APIs, if you want to think about that, as well as making JBoss platform more available as a platform as a service. Martin, you're obviously, as an industry expert, familiar with Red Hat and their moves. What do you make of these sort of mix of cloud moves of the last that we saw the last 24 hours here?
So I think it's obvious that Red Hat must become a major cloud vendor, and I think they feel so, and their customers feel so. And with Linux, they already underlie most of the cloud deployments in the world. So it's understandable that they are building up the stack and driving standard APIs. And maybe the timing also plays in that next week VMware has their big show, so this is a good week to announce cloud standards or other initiatives.
Yeah, it does seem like there's a little positioning of JBoss vis-a-vis Spring Source, and certainly there's a lot of jockeying going on there.
That's probably very true, but I think it makes sense. I think that's one of the reasons why they acquired JBoss in the first phase and why they're now expanding it into the cloud.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about the plethora of news in and around cloud activities when we get into the guest Q&A. So let's jump into that right now. Again, I'm here with Martin Mikos, the CEO of Eucalyptus. And Martin, in the event that a fan of the Cloud Computing Show does not know who you are, maybe you could just give us a one-minute background of your bio.
Right. Oh, me personally? Or
yes,
the company?
Yes, you personally.
Oh, okay. So people may know me more as the CEO of MySQL or MySQL. The only CEO, by the way. I was CEO for 7 years and I spent 1 year at Sun as Senior Vice President of the Database Group. I'm originally from Finland, from where I moved to Silicon Valley in 2003 with my family.
Great. So give us, actually, before we get into Eucalyptus as a company, or you can pick the order, I want to know a little bit about why you joined Eucalyptus personally as a career move, and then also just about Eucalyptus as a company.
Right. So Eucalyptus provides an open source cloud platform, and the founders originally started at UC Santa Barbara. It was a research project that was later spun out. UCSB is still a shareholder in the company. They started a project called Eucalyptus that stands for, and listen carefully now, Elastic Utility Computing Architecture, linking your programs to useful systems. So if that doesn't prove that there's an academic background, then what? But it became wildly popular, and that's why they spun it out as a separate commercial entity. And the reasons for me to join was, well, one was I applied for the job and they accepted me. but I had slowly realized that cloud computing might be the biggest shift I will ever see in my professional career, and I really wanted to be part of it. And then I went down and met with the team, the founding team, and I found that they were just incredibly devoted, smart, sincere, really serious about building something significant here. And I felt that they needed somebody like me there. So that's why I asked them if I could join, and luckily they accepted.
So you were a part of a big first wave of web-based applications and platforms with MySQL. And right. I know everybody asks you, is yeah. this the next big wave? And, you know, how close are the similarities to the rise of the whole LAMP stack and what we see now in the area of cloud stacks?
So in the grand scheme of things, I see this as the last farewell to the client-server world. And client-server emerged in the 80s, and we've been living on that infrastructure, that paradigm for all these years, all these decades. And the internet revolution and then the LAMP stack came from above. So it started with the browser and went downwards in the stack, and it went further down. But now we are making the final breakup with the old architecture, and we're building an infrastructure stack which from the get-go is designed for distributed use. Mm. And these are the first pieces of software that are designed to operate on many nodes at once. Whereas Linux as an operating system was built for one machine. It runs on many machines, but the design was for one. Like MySQL as a database was designed to run on one machine. Then we were sort of lucky and unlucky. MySQL had difficulty scaling up with big iron or bigger machines, so we learned to scale out instead with replication, sharding, and those methods. And now it's a blessing. This is why MySQL is so popular in cloud deployments, because it scales horizontally, which is a requirement for anything that you build for the cloud.
Gotcha. So yesterday, there was a big announcement for Eucalyptus. Eucalyptus 2.0 was announced. So give us the overview of what's new and what people should know about that.
So first, I'm very proud to tell that we shipped it on time and as planned.
Great.
Which may not necessarily always happen, but when it happens, you should be very happy because we know how difficult that is. This was the second generation of our open source cloud platform. We had fixed a lot of bugs. We added new features that people had asked for. We made the platform much more scalable. And in that sense, it's a natural evolution of the product. And many of the features we added had been requested by existing users and customers. So this you can download as of yesterday off our website. So I invite everybody to go there and have their own copy.
Right. And this is the open source version. There are a couple of versions of products that Eucalyptus offers, correct?
Right. We have the Eucalyptus platform. The Eucalyptus cloud platform is open source. It's free and open source software under the GPL3 license. We additionally sell to commercial customers something we call Eucalyptus Enterprise Edition. And that's where we package things that commercial customers are interested in. Most notably, the ability to run in a VMware environment. And most of the commercial customers we have are on VMware are very happy to have a vendor that provides them with support and all that a customer wants.
So in that specific case, just diving into some product details.
Right.
In that specific case, a customer might have a VMware environment where the VMware hypervisor is sort of at the base of their server infrastructure.
Right.
And then the Eucalyptus software will come and basically turn that into a cloud infrastructure, so to speak.
Yes, very much so. So you typically talk about data centers or compute resources running either in a physical state, in a virtual state, or then they've been going all the way to the cloud. So of course the hypervisor represents the virtualized state, and then when you take the next step, you go cloud, and that you typically do with Eucalyptus or a similar product.
Gotcha. I saw an announcement just before the Eucalyptus 2.0 announcement about a solution with NuScale, RPath, and Eucalyptus.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm an industry watcher, and it's hard sometimes for me to keep track of all these different things. Put that solution in perspective, and I know you aren't representing those companies directly, but yeah. Maybe where those pieces fit together, just so that people can get an understanding of the broader picture.
So the partnership with NuScale and RPath relates to the deployment phase, so going production with your cloud environment and making that easier. And we will have a number of partnerships where we have different product constellations that make sense for specific use cases. And what we do in this specific announcement and in this cooperation is make it easy to go live with your cloud deployments. So RPath for managing the images and the whole partnership for making it much easier and more straightforward and easier to manage the actual deployment phase.
Great. Are there other things in the portfolio, Eucalyptus portfolio, that we should know about beyond what we've talked about here?
We take a very partner-centric approach. So we stay true to building a cloud platform and not much more. We think platform itself is a big thing.
So give us your definition of where that framework is, of where the boundaries of a cloud platform versus something else.
Sure. And of course, it's still a little bit being developed because it's a new industry. But we want to be the platform with a unified API up towards the applications and services, and where we are the ones orchestrating and provisioning the resources, the underlying resources, so network, compute, and storage resources. And then what do you need in addition to Eucalyptus then? Well, you may need a management tool and interface like RightScale. You may need data management and database solutions. You may need system administration tools for administering it. You may need billing and invoicing. So all of those will be developed or will be provided by partners of ours that we are integrating with.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit about the customer segments and the types of companies that you think are going to drive the adoption early for private clouds, hybrid clouds, the kind of infrastructure that Eucalyptus is focused on.
Right. So first of all, I do think that the private cloud market, meaning the market for on-premise clouds run by companies for themselves, will in an indirect way be driven by the public clouds, meaning the more we have public clouds like Amazon, the more there will be an ability and willingness among corporations to build their own clouds. So they go hand in hand, and I believe public clouds will be a year or two ahead of private clouds.
Do you think, I just want to dig into that statement, so you're saying that is it going to be economic pressure that will force companies to do it, or the availability of better technical solutions that'll force enterprises in there?
It will be a mixture of all of those. So for some, they just need to see in a public cloud that it's doable.
It works.
And then they can do it. Some will be on public clouds and for economic reasons go into on-premise clouds. Some will just watch the public clouds and then say, I want the same within my own firewall and, you know, on my own territory. So there's different reasons for it. But that's the overall driver. Then within the space for on-premise clouds, we see three clear groups that are driving here now. One is large corporations and their CTO offices who are now out there deploying their first clouds, typically a small portion of their compute power, but a significant, but still a small portion where they try out cloud. So that's a clear target group. Another one is modern online and web companies who have significant consumer-facing traffic and business, and for running it, they need a scalable platform, and they come to us. And the third group is the government and scientific institutions, who for a variety of reasons are interested. They may have a policy of going cloud. They may need to increase utilization because they have strict budgets and they need to cut down on costs, or they have computations that are variable and unpredictable, and for that a cloud platform will help them manage them.
Are there some Eucalyptus examples, either named or anonymous, that you can give our listeners sort of a more specific deployment example of how the software is being used?
Sure. Most of them are still running privately and secretly, but some that we can mention are usaspending.gov, a government agency, a website run by the government agencies where they publish financial information about budget spendings. Mm-hmm. And they use Eucalyptus in order to scale that website more easily. So that's one example. And then we have technology companies like Trend Micro and others who are using it for customer facing or test deployments on the cloud.
Great. I saw last week or so you did a video with GigaOm.
Right.
A lot of great information. And one of the things that you mentioned a couple of times there is that this industry is still in its infancy.
Yeah, right.
How and when will we know when we've reached adolescence or adulthood?
How do you know yourself when you grow up?
Well, I don't know. Your voice changes, you start dating or whatever.
But many times when you're young, you think you're older. And when you're old, you think you're younger. So I think the same applies to the industry, that if you look at the vendors today, each one of us is portraying a very big and significant presence, and we're talking about things as if we knew. And sure, we know a lot. We know a lot more than many others. But there are many things that are still not tested out or not sure. You know, where do we go? Do we standardize on everything, or do we build custom solutions here and there? Should you go vertical or horizontal when it comes to technology? There are many open questions here. And that's why I think it's a sign that it's a nascent industry. And also when big customers come to us and they say they are from the CTO office, I'm very happy that they are from the CTO office, because those people are really smart. They know what they're doing. They are eager to try out the technology. But it's only when it's the CI office that comes to you that you know they are really serious about spending money and going live with it.
Right. The CTO is still exploratory.
Right. But every new industry has grown up like this. You know, go back and look at the Linux distros in the late 90s, or go back to the relational database industry when it grew up. How many players weren't there back then? And they all had their own story, and they all felt that they could be the leaders on the long, long term. And it takes several years for that to shake out.
Right. Is there something that we should watch out for, do you think, to sort of sift through all this noise? I mean, we're coming up here on VMworld. That's going to be a lot of noise, both from them and everyone else. Is there, you know, for people who are looking at adopting a cloud stack, are there some filters that they can use, some guidelines that you have to sort of say, hey, pay attention to X, Y, or Z?
So I would follow Jim Collins's advice, experiment a lot and keep what works. And we see that with many customers, that they try out parallel solutions to see which one really serves them. And that's, I think, good advice here, because we just don't know where the market is heading. Some people talk a lot about standardization at this stage, and my observation of industries in general is that standardization happens some time into the industry, but not really in the beginning.
Right.
In the beginning, it's actually important that everybody develops their own technology and standards so that all new innovations get a chance to survive. And then when you start seeing the trends, that's when you bring it together.
Yeah, so taking the cues from that, you think it's probably a little too early to sort of focus on standardization in the cloud stack arena, or are there areas within? So, for example, some people talk about, in the case of cloud stacks, the APIs are more important for standardization than some of the back-end systems and the internals.
Right? Right.
Which I think mirrors a little bit of the Eucalyptus strategy with being so compatible with Amazon APIs.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yes, absolutely. If we can come up with standards now, that's great. I just think it's difficult to sort them out at this point. We're following the Amazon API because we do think it's the industry leading API today, and many customers are happy that they can use the same tools, the same skills on one cloud and the other. So there are practical benefits for following it.
Right. Is there a right number, a correct number of cloud stacks in the future?
I wonder. You know, again, look at other industries where you, in the beginning, you can have 50 to 100 vendors, and then after a few years, there are 10 vendors left, and after 10 years, there are 5 vendors left. But look at the database industry. There's practically now 3 vendors,
right.
Oracle, IBM, and Microsoft. But there were many, many more in the beginning, and many built large companies.
Yeah. Informix, and there's still smaller database companies that have hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, and you know, they might not be billion-dollar corporations, but they're still sizable businesses.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if we, you know, some people talk about Linux distributions being a good model, databases being a good model, just in terms of correlating. People even go back and talk about automobiles, right? There were 100 vendors of automobiles in, you know, 1900s, early 1900s, and now there's 3 or 4.
And I think there's a difference that when we got the Linux distributions, they were... Linux was a disruptor of old operating systems, but Linux was an operating system as well. I think with cloud, we have a more major shift going on. We're shifting from this single server design software to distributed multi-node software. So I think it's more of a question of innovating new than disrupting the old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm not sure that you can have standards or a unified platform like Linux is. Not yet. Over time, yes, absolutely, we'll get there. But I don't think the time is yet.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a little bit, I have a background in storage. There's a lot of interesting things in the cloud stacks regarding storage. It seems people have standardized on, you have your block stores and you have your object stores. I mean, you have a lot of background in storage from the database side of things.
Right.
What's your take on the state of the storage aspect of cloud stacks right now compared to the state of virtual machine management? And do you think that there's a lot to be done, or do you think that this setup of the block store and the object store will sort of be enough to carry people forward? It's just sort of an open-ended question to get your take on that.
I'm not sure I know what will happen, but I'm looking at the underlying fundamentals, meaning the amount of data that we produce, that machines produce today, and it's growing so incredibly fast. It's growing faster than computational needs. And that's why my guess would be that the hypervisors and the virtualization layers are in better shape to cope with the demands, because computations are growing at a reasonable rate, but the amount of data is growing much faster. So I wouldn't be surprised if we'll be constantly lagging behind on storage solutions, which also means that there are many, many more business opportunities there, and which starts to explain why somebody like 3PAR can command a value that they do, and why two big companies are fighting for them. And, data domain earlier.
Right.
So it seems like the area of storage will be just an enormous market, because there's so much more data every single day.
Yeah. How about on the database? Obviously, with your background at MySQL, you know this area well. What are some interesting things, both maybe from the MySQL side, but also from other database areas and data stores? Of course, we have all the activity with the NoSQL stuff. Just what's your take on what's happening there as it relates to fitting in with what cloud stacks will grow up to be over the next year or two?
So first of all, I would like to say sort of separately that I believe that data warehousing and business intelligence will keep growing as sort of a side area of databases. In the actual data management and database arena, we may have a little bit of a disconnect here, that of the old relational databases, it seems like MySQL is the only one that makes it all the way to the cloud, exactly because it scales out instead of scaling up. Mm-hmm. And what a lucky coincidence, lucky weakness of past MySQL that we ended up there. And so we're sort of looking for the next great thing, and we're looking to the NoSQL movement to come with something for us. And they are not there yet. Again, you have 10, 15, 25 promising vendors, but they all follow their own mental model and software design and APIs and paradigms. So it's not clear what that market will look like in a few years. So I think there will be frustration in the market with people who would like to reduce their dependency on the relational model, but they cannot because the next generation isn't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
But give it a couple of years, maybe 3 years, 4 years, and I think then it will start growing again.
Yeah, although at times it seems like the appetite for new technologies in the tech community is stronger than the appetite for quarterly results in the Wall Street community. You know, it's just, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now. I want to step back and try to tap into some of your knowledge from broader experience of managing one of the largest open source software companies. There are many technology companies now trying to balance open source software and revenues. And I know there's no magic formula. You mentioned that in the interview, there's no magic formula.
Right.
But just in the spirit of maybe sharing a few bits of wisdom, how should companies navigate that, knowing that it's a tricky line to walk?
Well, so first of all, I think I've come now to the realization that to create great software, you need to be a black and white personality, meaning you have to be very strong in your opinions and very clear about design. You must really drive some extreme somewhere. And that's how the most fantastic pieces of software have been developed, by very black and white people who are, who have very firm opinions.
True to their roots and core.
True or untrue, but black and white,
okay.
Meaning black or white. But when it comes to a business model for open source, I think the magic sauce is in the gray zone, and that it is a gray scale, meaning you cannot be black and white. And this is what makes it so difficult for people to grasp. If you try to run an open source company, a company that produces open source code and also produces cash. At MySQL, I always said, you must produce cash or code, one or the other. So to do both, producing code requires this black and white approach. Producing cash produces a gray zone approach where you navigate carefully. And those are different philosophies, different paradigms. So you need people who can live in both worlds to make it work. And inevitably, if you are open source and you want to make money, there will be corners where you have to cut the corners so that you upset some open source people. Mm-hmm. And conversely, because you're open source, there will be salespeople who are upset with you because you can't charge for every single copy that goes out.
Right.
And you must be ready to make those seemingly incompatible worlds work together. And we have this every day. You know, we follow a business model that makes some open source people very upset with us. At the same time, we were just recruiting a very talented programmer, and that programmer interviewed me, and I interviewed this person, and the question was, how can I join your company when you're open source? How can I make sure that you can pay my salary?
Mm.
So we have all these different views and opinions, and that's why company management has to find a course, stay the course even amidst criticism, but at the same time be ready to change it and adjust it when the situation so requires. So it's just constant tension and passion about it that you need.
No, that's a very interesting example, because usually you hear about the investors wanting to know how you're going to make money, but in this case, the employees want to make sure that it's an ongoing cause.
Right, and I think we showed at MySQL that we created enormous wealth. And first of all, we created enormous wealth for the founders and their friends, and it's in the order of hundreds of millions. And then we created very significant wealth for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, we created significant wealth for the VCs.
Right.
But I think it showed, it acted as an example of how the wealth is channeled back into open source and into the ecosystem, because so many, you know, it was primarily the founders and their friends, and then the employees who got the benefits.
Right. So we're on the cusp of VMworld next week. I know Eucalyptus will be there. What's the sort of major message for the VMware world as far as the Eucalyptus offerings go?
So the theme we have there, and I'm revealing a secret now, I don't know, but the theme will be from months to minutes,
mm-hmm.
Where we talk about how going cloud will reduce your provisioning times and from months to minutes, and will make your organization much more agile. And that's what we see with many of the large organizations. The first reason to go cloud is to be able to provision new services very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's our main message there.
Yeah. I think I saw that tagline on your
VMworld
website.
Very good.
Don't think it's a secret.
Yeah. The other message we have, which is more a subtle message in the background, is that we think we are the best cloud platform for VMware. And we want everybody who's running VMware as a virtualization layer to know that the best cloud platform can be obtained from Eucalyptus.
Great. One of the questions I like to ask people is, what's the number one misconception that you have to deal with regarding Eucalyptus? What's the thing people don't realize or misunderstand that you want to sort of have a chance to clarify?
Okay, so there's one which sort of has been debated in some places. I think Eucalyptus scales beyond any computing center that we've been installed in and any test that has ever been run on the software. And I've heard sometimes voices to the contrary. I think maybe earlier there was a reason for those misconceptions, because we had an earlier version which wasn't as mature. And we packaged the product such that if you just installed it, downloaded and installed it, it appeared to be a not so well scaling cloud platform. We're convinced of the absolute opposite, that we have maybe the best scaling platform in the world. But I'm not trying to change that perception here in this interview. We will change it with actual results and actual numbers and demonstrations that we'll be doing over the next months and quarters.
Great. Besides all the stuff that you had this week, is there anything we should particularly look forward to towards the end of the year that you can share, or just sort of more iterations on the software?
Yeah, we work hard on just focusing on the software very, very much. So still today, I think 70 to 80% of our employees are engineers and product engineers. So we take the engineering task very seriously, and that's what you will be seeing in the coming months.
Great. Well, thank you so much for that wonderful Q&A. Very informative. We'll jump into the next section of the show with Cloud Tips,
yep,
where we offer a tidbit of wisdom to the audience. Do you want to go first, Martin?
Yeah, I was wondering what to do, but I realized that I just signed up for Dropbox for having a backup of my home files and photographs, and I just love that service. So that would be my tip.
It's a very lovable service. My pick this week is on the billing side of cloud computing, which is an area that's gotten a lot of discussion, particularly with all of these stacks coming out, is how do I bill accordingly? And one company I know that's doing some work in that arena is Zuora.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with them. And I think we're going to have to get them on the show eventually. But I think as this billing piece comes to the fore, once people sort of say, okay, I can do the stack, now I have to figure out how I can charge everybody for it.
Right.
I think companies like Zuora are probably in a pretty good position. So if people are still looking for that billing piece, I've heard good things about it. I haven't used their product directly, don't have any hands-on experience, and I'm sure there are others in that category, but my pick is Zuora. I think they've got something interesting there. Well, that's a wrap-up for this show. Martin, where can people go to get more information about you and Eucalyptus, web addresses, Twitter addresses you want to share with the audience?
So you can go to open.eucalyptus.com to download our software. If people are interested in me, my Twitter handle is Martin Mikos, MartenMicos. And from there, you can, I think, find everything else.
Great. And for me, Gary Ornstein, you can follow me on Twitter at full name Gary Ornstein. And as I mentioned earlier on in the show, we are just getting our cloud computing show handle, which is Cloud Show, off and running there. So feel free to subscribe there as well. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks again, Martin.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks again to all of our listeners. We will be back next week with a roundtable, I believe, so almost live from VMworld, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can visit us at thecloudcomputingshow.com or email us at thecloudcomputingshow@gmail.com. And you can also subscribe on iTunes by just doing a quick search for The Cloud Computing Show in the podcast directory, and the show should come up right there. If it doesn't come up, let me know. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.